First of all, let me thank you very much for your invitation for me to be here once again with the brothers and sisters here. First, let me just say a few words about my most recent trip to Toronto, Canada. I have been invited by a brother and sister there just for one purpose, to preach the gospel to a group of Chinese visiting scientists there. Now, as you know, there are many Chinese scientists visiting that city. And the Lord has used a couple of brothers and sisters who are in the Lord. The Lord really used them, you know, to somehow take care of those visitors. And through their effort before the Lord, and so these visitors, they like to, you know, to go to the meeting place and to hear the gospel if they got the invitation. And this time they want me to be there and try to preach the gospel to them, and especially on Lord's Day. And since you know their meeting place, I mean the meeting place of the brother of the fellowship there, actually they borrow a place in a campus of University of Toronto. So it's a very convenient place for those who are studying or working in the campus, just to go there on Sunday. So when I preached the gospel to them that Sunday, and thank the Lord that the Lord really, you know, touched many hearts. And if I remember correctly, it's about 140 Chinese scientists, visiting scientists, who are present in that meeting. And one thing impressed me very much, that they actually represent actually they came from all over China, and some people even from Tibet, for example. So almost every place of China and were represented there. So it's a very rare opportunity to meet them, to greet them, and also to preach gospel to them. And so they really, brother and sister, they really pray a lot before the Lord, because they do feel that this is a very rare occasion for them. And and they know that it won't be late. I think now it's easy to invite them, but afterwards, probably because there are so many people come to the meeting, now definitely they will be noticed. And then later, it won't be that easy anymore. So I think the Lord really put that burden with the brother and sister there. And they pray much. And so when they come together and they really preach gospel in one accord. And that morning, I think when I share the message, I did feel the response. It's I must say that the Lord did some work really among these people. And of course, since most of them will be back probably within a month or even 2 or 3 months, I know there's very difficult for them to you know, to tell their faith or to show their faith in public. But anyway, I think the Lord somehow really do some work among these people. And later we really got quite a good report with them. And, you know, they were brought up in that kind of society. And that, you know, they don't believe the existence of God. So we have to start from the ABC, you know, try to help them to see the light of gospel. But I think the Lord really answered the prayer of His church. And, but I thought that this is a good beginning. And lots of work has to be done. And of course, this is also a big challenge to the brother and sister there. I mean, they cannot just depend on one or two persons, you know, not just fishing by hook. You need to cast a net, you know, in a corporate effort to win people to Christ. So this is also a big challenge to the brother and sister. They have to grow together, not only individual, also in a very corporate way. So I think I just share this with brother and sister. Let's continue to pray for them. I mean, this is a unique situation, especially in Toronto. I didn't see that in other places. You know, somehow, you know, in that city, the Lord really brought many scientists there. And we thank God for the testimony of that couple. I mean, that couple of brothers and sisters, they really have a very good testimony before them. They really take care of them. They became their friends first before they extend the invitation to them. So actually, they already done a lot of work before the Lord. They visit them. Sometimes they have to kill their evening time. They were very busy. You know, one of them actually, not only as housewife, but also a research fellow there in the university. So this couple, actually, their hands are all were full. But for the Lord's sake, I mean, they really kill their weekends and also the many weekday nights, you know, try to be with them, try to make friends with them, in order that one day, you know, when they invite them, they definitely will come. So let's really remember them. And I think the Lord's still working there. And probably the Lord will give them wisdom to continue that work. So I think I just share this with you, with brothers and sisters. I just share briefly about my family situation. As you know, probably because I appreciate that you pray for me and my family on every Wednesday evening. So I think I should let you know a little bit about what happened. Well, I don't know how to share this because I think the Lord is doing something with my family. Not only myself, also my wife, when is going through something very, very, almost a crisis in our life. Now, I call my wife. She's still in Taiwan, of course, with our youngest son, Daniel. And of course, they were there waiting for the visa to get into this country. Or go to Canada first, then come to this country. But anyway, we were praying to the Lord that the Lord will open the door, that, you know, then Daniel could come. Otherwise, it will cause some problem for me, because even I get a job here. Now, since this family is split, now, I felt that if somehow it is the Lord's will that Daniel couldn't come, but then at least I probably should go. So I was before the Lord that whether this is the Lord's will. Okay, if he won't open the door for Daniel, so that probably means he has a better will. So we were really before the Lord, and we asked the Lord especially to show his will to us. So when we pray, yes, on the one hand we say, Lord, if it is your will, now, how wonderful if you really open the door. But if you really shut the door, it's also fine, because you see, we are so dull in knowing the will of God. And we are so slow in knowing the will of God. So the Lord has to remind us through the circumstance. So we want to learn this lesson before the Lord. So when I called my wife and she said, well, everybody was asking her some question. Now, what? How the Lord, when you are going to the States? And how the Lord is going to open the door. Any news from the state? Because she thought that when I come to this country, I will contact different persons, and how the Lord will open some door. And, you know, my wife was waiting there, and if the Lord opened the door, they would come anytime. So the brother and sister also pray for them, and also ask them, now, do you have any further news? Then my wife said, well, we don't know. We really don't know what our future. And some people said, are you going back to Brazil? Or are you going to the States? Or you will stay there? And my wife said, I really don't know. So my wife told me that she didn't want to give the impression to the people as if she's very spiritual. You know, some people, to show people, you know, they are so spiritual because they don't know. You know, they really don't know where they are going, you know, as if they really live by faith. My wife told me that actually she didn't want to pretend to be spiritual, but actually she didn't know. Now the same thing, and she asked me, now do you know? I said, I really don't know. Only thing I know that we are just waiting before the Lord. And as you know, our time is running out. That means we have to make the decision before the end of this year. Either we will go back to Formosa, or we will get some, if the Lord opens some door, then I can probably stay in this country, or I have to go back to Brazil. But when we put all the factors before the Lord, and we discover it's not easy. We ask Lord that to, we know the Lord remember us, we are nothing but dust. You know, especially when you come to many factors before you, we really don't know. But anyway, we have heart before the Lord. Even we don't know very well, but at least we should try to learn to love Israel. I think that's probably an important lesson for us. So I must say that, brothers, I wish I could tell you more about my situation. Now, as far as my job is concerned, there are some possibilities there, but probably it takes some time before we can know it definitely. And I think with the Lord, everything is simple and it's easy. And also as to the visa of my son, and the Lord is still, probably the Lord, I mean, we are still waiting for the Lord to open the door. So anything could happen at any time, any moment. So we just learn to trust in the Lord. So please bear with me, and brother and sister, if the Lord really put this burden in your heart, continue to pray for us. And somehow I feel that no news is good news, that we can learn more how to wait before Him. And I remember very well, one verse just came to me, if you would like to turn with me to Ruth. Ruth chapter 3, last verse. Verse 18. Then she said, "Wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it today." Now, of course, in my translation here, it says wait. But actually, in original, it simply means you just sit there. You just sit there. Of course, you know that Boaz is going to work. Actually, at that time, you know how Ruth has been given 6 measures of barley. Now 6, of course, you know, now 6 plus 1 equal to 7. 7 means perfection. So another one is coming. And we know that that one, it simply means Boaz himself. So only when Boaz really joined to Ruth, then it's real, really that perfection, really 7. But anyway, before that happened, and then Ruth simply said, "Wait, sit here, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it today." I think this is very, very important ending of this chapter, because we know that this chapter is telling something about the threshing floor. And you know what happened, Ruth. You know what happened to Ruth and Boaz on the threshing floor. And of course, we know that threshing floor in the Bible always represents the working of the cross. And the working of the cross always leads us to rest. So at the end, you see how Naomi said to Ruth that, "Well, you wait, sit there." Okay. And that's how the chapter 3 ends. But actually, this verse not only concludes chapter 3, also opens chapter 4. So if we read the chapter 4, in the very beginning of chapter 4, "Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there." So the Holy Spirit used another word, sitting there. Sat down there. "And behold, the close relative to whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, 'Turn aside, friend, sit down there here.'" So another sitting here. "And he turned aside and sat down." Another sitting. "And he took 10 men of elders of the city and said, 'Sit down here.' So they sat down." So you see, very interesting. The Bible really used that verse as actually its key verse to conclude chapter 3 and to open chapter 4. And chapter 4, we are told a beautiful scene at the gate, and where we will find the Lord's testimony. So I think if we really learn to live out the Lord's testimony, probably we all have to go through the threshing floor and let the working of the cross really do deeply in our life. And of course, one of the difficulty lesson to learn is to sit. I think our flesh never be able to sit there quietly. But we thank the Lord that even we are doing nothing, but our voice is doing something. So I think that's my feeling, especially. That's my, how do I say, this verse really comforted me in this period. Especially when I saw my own eyes that my time is running out. Anyway, we have to make some decision at the end. But the important thing is this, all our prayer before the Lord is that really, you know, we may know His will and what is the best, not only for ourselves. I think when we judge the whole thing before the Lord and we begin to realize that not just our own future, I mean, involved, and also it has to be connected with the Lord's interest, also with the Lord's kingdom. So it's a very difficult decision to make, but I just ask you, brother and sister, really to pray for us. Of course, if the Lord really opened the door, fine. If the Lord shut the door, it probably means that the Lord has a better will for us. And we don't know the best timing in our life. Only the Lord knows. So I just need your prayer more. That not necessarily make everything smoothly, but at least we will learn more lessons, especially in this period. Okay, now I think I'd like to share more with you just through some part of the Word of God. Okay, would you like to turn to Song of Solomon? Chapter 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Verse 12. God unlocked is my sister, my bride. God unlocked is my sister, my bride. I would like to share with brothers and sisters just some simple thoughts here. We know this is the first time in Song of Solomon this word garden has been mentioned. And actually this word garden has been used 8 times in this book. And we know that actually this word appear more in Genesis than Song of Solomon. And of course, when it refer when that word garden has been used in Genesis, it refer especially to the garden of God or to the Garden of Eden. Now here we know that It is Solomon who talked about Shulamite. A garden locked is my sister, my bride. And we know that Solomon represents our Lord and Shulamite represents us. So here you have the dialogue between Solomon and Shulamite. As you know, in original, Solomon, Shulamite actually is the same word, but different roots. And so, Solomon means peace. Shulamai also means peace. So our Lord is the King of peace. And we are called to be the Queen of peace. And since in original it's the same word, so it speaks of our union with our Lord. Now, when we come to this verse, And you see how our Lord mentioned that a garden locked is my sister, my bride. So this phrase actually tells us we should be a garden locked before the Lord. Because when we are in this condition, then He will be satisfied. And that's why we are given this wonderful phrase, a garden locked is my sister. And so often we neglect the fact that actually we are a garden before our Lord. Because in this whole chapter, if we read carefully, all the garden actually refer to Shulamite. So in the eyes of Solomon, the Shulamite is nothing but a garden before him. But this is a garden locked. It is not a park. It is a garden enclosed. It's a private one. It's not supposed to be for the public. It is only for Solomon. So later, if we read on, you know, how Shulamite described that garden as my garden. And not only that, he said, make my garden breathe out fragrance. And then he said, may my beloved come into his garden. So on the one hand, it is my garden, but on the other hand, it is his garden. So I think this is a very beautiful description here. Really, this description really tells us our relationship with our Lord. And especially the Bible here mentioned, a garden locked is my sister, my bride. Now, my sister first, then my bride. And we know that sister speaks of life. And the bride speaks of love. We begin with our life relationship with our Lord. Then our love relationship with our Lord. Potentially speaking, we are His sister. We have His life. And because we are His life, we ought to be like Him. But experimentally speaking, we are also His bride. We are called to be His bride. That means we may have a wonderful love union with our Lord. And then we will be transformed into the image of our Lord. So I think this is the thought here. And always sister first, then bride. I think this is very, very meaningful. But the most important thought here is this. A garden locked is my sister, my bride. This simply means this garden is not open for public. And this garden locked simply speaks of our life, of our consecration before the Lord. Because we present our body as a living sacrifice, then we become a garden locked. And we really shut our Lord inside the garden, and we shut the whole world outside of the garden. So I think this is the beginning of our Christian life. Now I remember well, the Lord did speak to my heart through this verse. So I really learned, you know, how always put ourselves on the altar. And we always ask the Lord to remind us that actually we are a garden locked before Him. So we should live a life simply for Him. And also we have to live a life that will be appreciated by Him only. And of course this is life, is life of consecration. When we read this passage, and we will discover actually it applies to our whole life. No matter in what stage of our life, even probably at the beginning of our Christian life or in the latter stage of a Christian life. And we will discover that this is always the case with us. I mean, we are always a garden locked before our Lord's eye. I remember 5 years ago, I think, I got this eye problem, and I have I had a cataract. And I knew that only for old people, they got the cataract, but not for the one who under 50. So at that time, I really didn't know, I really did not know, why the Lord allowed that thing happen to me. But now when I look back, I think it's very wonderful. Because it's so often we may forget that we are simply a garden locked in His sight. So He has to remind us. And sometimes, except He has to lock us into a place that then we begin to realize that actually that's exactly the place where we should be. And I remember very well, because of that, what happened to me, and I really went through almost a period of time which is very difficult for me. But I thank the Lord for that, because I never experienced that sense of urgency before the Lord. I thought that my time was running out and my world getting darker and darker. And I, at that time, I really didn't know that whether the Lord is going to open my eyes again. I know that if it is will, He could do that. But if it is not His will, I praise the Lord for that. But anyway, I knew that before I completely blind, at least I should use the time before I cannot see anything. So thank the Lord that once again reminds me, we should be like a garden locked before Him. So I was reminded, that time I should try to use every minute, every second, because I knew that my time was running out. And at that time I couldn't read the Bible because I really cannot read the Bible because it's all vague. You just cannot see anything. But then I thought somehow I should read the Bible. And before, when I was young, when I have good eyesight, of course, I never thought that to read the Bible is so easy thing. No. But now I realize that I just cannot read. So, but I pray before Lord. Anyway, I have to study I have to read your Bible before I lose all my eyesight. Of course, I know one day the Lord, probably through His will, He may recover my sight again. But anyway, I will consider this period, for the Lord really, for me to use the time every minute, every second. So thank the Lord who really give me some idea that I try to borrow overhead projector. But a special one, not the one you have seen. So I put the Bible there. Then through the over projector, then all the words were amplified on the wall in my bedroom. So for some period of time, I just studied the Bible that way. But I think it's wonderful. I thought that really, this is really Lord's mercy for me to realize that, we should live a life like this before Him. And, I knew I cannot do anything, but I still like to do some translation. I like to translate the points of Miss Barbara into Chinese. So I asked the Lord, please just give me some time. Let me finish that. So I used this amplifier, then just word by word, and try to work in that period. So thank the Lord that I have gone through a certain period. And as if the Lord really shut me in, But that's exactly the place where I should be. And I learn by faith, not just by sight. And for example, when I gave a message to brother and sister, I really don't know the reaction. I don't know whether some people fall into sleep or not, I never know. But I just try to exercise my faith. I know that that's the word the Lord wants to share. I share it, that's all. Then the Lord will take up the rest. But thank the Lord for that period. I think this was really their real experience for us. So after I regained my eyesight, praise the Lord, and through many prayers of the brothers and sisters here, and also through, I think the Lord really restored my eyesight. Then I think at that time I asked the Lord, now, there must be some purpose in all this. Now, if you regain my, if you restore my eyesight, so I really want to use, you see, I really want to become a garden locked before you. So, for that reason, I was much before the Lord, and what is next? So somehow at that time I got the news that there is a possibility, because as a tenured person, I was entitled to leave that university for a maximum to 30 months without explaining why I'm leaving. I can run a restaurant, I can, you know, I can, well, I can go to any field. I mean, they cannot say no to me. I thought that probably it's very, so after I knew that, I was much before the Lord and asked the Lord to show His will. And somehow I felt that I have to take that opportunity that the Lord has given me. It's 30 months. But then I asked the Lord where He's going to send me, where I'm going, because I would like to use these 30 months for the Lord. But of course, you know, this world is very stingy, you know. They never give you something in a very easy way. Yes, they will grant me 30 months of leave of absence. But if I go back to Brazil, that means my retirement will be postponed. You know, that means I have to wait. When everybody's retired, I have to wait for another 30 months to get my retirement. But then, I was before the Lord. I calculated. I think it's much more useful now, 30 months now, than that time. Because many people, they are waiting for their retirement, you know. They were always thinking that if one day I'm retired, I will serve the Lord. But many people, they will discover that when they really come to the age of retirement, they really have a heart for the Lord, but not much strength anymore. Even the physical strength. So, I was before the Lord. I prefer to use that 30 months. And I even didn't know that whether I'm going to have that 30 months, you know, in the age of 65. I even don't know that. Because the only thing I know that the Lord give me the time today and now, this is in our hand. So we were before the Lord, and we did believe that that's the Lord's will, that we probably should go to Formosa. Now that's we know. But we really didn't know what we are going to do. We don't have any plan. We don't have any blueprint of our future. No. The only thing we know is that probably that's the Lord's will. We should take this 30 month of leave of absence, just go to Far East and to meet with the brothers and sisters and to see if, and to see step by step what is the Lord's will. So I think that's how we began that trip. That's why I think, as you know, brother and sister, I spent almost 30 months, and actually more. I have accumulated another 4 months of vacation. I never use it. So altogether, 34 months. And I thank the Lord that I spent 2 years in university. Then I thought the rest of my time I shouldn't be wasted anymore. I should try, because there's some need there in the Far East. I think I could travel more. You know, so thank the Lord that now here I am. So we believe the Lord really put us in a position that we really come to another point, turning point of our life. But the reason I mention this is this: sometimes we really don't know the will of God very well. It is true, because I think there is. I think there is a wisdom in this. Because, then we will depend on Him more. And also, we always wait before Him. But also this is a good time for us to be reminded, actually we are God locked before Him. So if we're really on the altar, if we're always in that position, then I think gradually, you know, the will of the Lord will become clear to us. And this is always with this is always the beginning of our growth, and we really begin from there. So I like to share this with brothers and sisters. This is not just a praise theoretically. Actually, it is a very real verse to every one of us. So the important thing is this: are we a garden locked before Him? And of course, we let not forget. The Lord said, a garden locked is my sister and my bride. And we were saved through His blood. And positionally speaking, we are His sister. We share the life of Christ. And we also have our future. We have our destiny. That means we will be transformed into the image of Christ. So we are not just His sister, we are also His bride. So definitely we are called into the union with Him. And this is really our purpose. So a garden lock is for that purpose, that the Holy Spirit can work in us. So if you read on, you discover three things in that garden. First, the flower, which speaks of the beauty of life of Christ. Then, fruits, which speaks of the fullness of life of Christ. Then also spices, which speak of the fragrance of life of Christ. So I think this is very encouraging, brothers and sisters. We are simply a garden locked before Him. Then the Holy Spirit begins His work in us. Then gradually you will discover, through many years of the labor and the working of the Holy Spirit, somehow then you discover the Lord has deposited a very rich life, you know, very, He really deposited the riches of the life of Christ in us. And thank the Lord, this is the mercy of the Lord. If we are really a garden locked before Him, then you see the Holy Spirit did work in us. Then people will discover the fullness of life of Christ, and also the fragrance of life of Christ, and so also the fullness of the life of Christ in us. And I think this is very encouraging, because when Holy Spirit get us consecrated before Him, it's for this very purpose. But let me just try to share you a little bit more. How Holy Spirit is going to work that out? How this fullness and fullness and this beauty and this fragrance of life being developed in us? And I think if we read another passage, probably we get some glimpse of it. Let us read Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. Chapter 58, verse 11. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places, and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a water garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Now here we have another phrase called a water garden. Now first, we are a garden enclosed before God. Then, through the working of the Holy Spirit, we will become a water garden. And I think this is very encouraging, brothers and sisters. Because we are water garden, then you see the Holy Spirit really work in us. Now, of course, in the Bible, always use tree to represent life, and also use water to represent life. But actually, it touches different aspects of life. Tree speaks of static life of Christ. And water speaks of dynamic life of Christ. And of course, tree always refer to us some important principle which we should follow. And by following that principle, we will grow in the Lord. But on the other hand, we know that there is dynamic side of the life of Christ in us. through the working of the Holy Spirit, then you discover that we really become a water garden. Now, the first water garden mentioned in the Bible, I think it's in chapter 2 of Genesis. Let's read it. Chapter 2 of Genesis. Verse 10. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden. And from there it divided and it became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. It flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. The bdellium and the onyx stone are there. Now here we have a description of a water garden. Actually, this water garden actually is a very good description of what happened to us. You see, the Bible says, now a river flowed out of Eden. And of course, if we study Revelation, that means really flow out of the throne of God. And to water the garden. And here we find the river of light. We find the water of life. Then from there it divided and it became four rivers. And the name of the first is Pishon. It flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good, and bdellium and onyx stone are there. So here again we are reminded the work of the Holy Spirit in us. First, you know, this river of life really comes from the very throne of God. And that light, that river really will water us. And this light really will transform us. So whenever we follow the course of river, if we really follow that river, then we are told that we will find gold, pearl, and also precious stone. So I think this is exactly what the Holy Spirit is working in us. On the one hand, He's watering us with the living water. So our thirst is quenched. And not only that, through His transforming power, He is going to transform us as long as we are the garden locked before Him. And now when we simply follow the course of river, then we discover the gold there, which speaks of the nature of God. And then we also find the pearl, life. We know that speaks of the life out of death. And you know, a kind of sea creature. You know, some has been invaded by sands. Now, instead of driving out the sands out, you know, then they somehow, this creature tried to embrace the sand. And gradually, we know that a pearl is formed. And that really speaks of our life, a life out of Christ. And that's the reason why our Lord taught Peter and us. And when we forgive our brother and sister, not just 7 times, it is 70 times 7. That means somehow the Lord allows those sins entering into our life to irritate us. It's some kind of irritation. But because we are following the course of river of life, then we begin to forgive and forget. And we begin to embrace this sin instead of revenge. Instead of become bitter, we embrace this sin. Then thank the Lord that then you see that this garden is watered by the Holy Spirit gradually. If we really follow that course, then we really discover the pearl, and the pearl is formed. So thank the Lord, the purpose for us to learn the lesson of forgiving our brothers or sisters 70 times 7 just to make us a pearl. That means just for a pearl being formed in our life. So I think we ought to thank the Lord that sometime He arranged all kinds of environment. And especially we learn this lesson from our dear ones in the family or even in the church, You know, all these brothers, they love us. But also, we learn some kind of lesson. Sometimes we just feel the sense entering into our life. But then, we thank the Lord that instead of giving him some kind of strange look, and we learn how to embrace the sand. And thank the Lord that just according to us, we try to do something, right? I think we all know that. I remember very well while I was in the university, one day I was hurt very greatly by one saint of the Lord. And for a whole night I couldn't sleep. So I decided next day I'm going to give, just try to return with some strong word. If somehow, I couldn't sleep for a whole night, then I will offer one word that will make him without sleeping for a whole week. So I think this is the way I should do. But brother and sister, thank the Lord. Just that before I was going to do that, the word of God came to me. Just one word. You remember, and the Lord really reminds me about that passage. You see, especially on the piercing side of our Lord, he was hurt. But then you not only discover the blood, also the water. So not only forget, but also forget. Not only to forget, but also supply with love. And just that word, brothers, that really touched my heart. And I know it's very difficult for me to swallow. But thank the Lord that after I really follow that course of river, then my brothers and sisters, I discover that it's a great blessing. And that's how we really learn. How we are the garden rock first, and then how we really can become a water garden. Let the work of the Holy Spirit work in us. So thank the Lord. Within ourselves, we can never do it. It's impossible. At the most, we are like Peter, Actually, for the Jewish people, if they can forgive three times a day, this is already a big achievement. So for Peter, he thought that he's much better than all of the Jews, because as a follower of Christ, but actually the Lord reminds him, not seven times, but 70 times seven. But thank the Lord, this is the story of a power. But we can never produce that, brothers and sisters, only when we then learn that lesson, when we really follow the course of that. But not only that, we also find a precious jewel. And, when we write something with a pencil, we ought to remember that the lead in the pencil actually is nothing but a graphite. And now, if you know a little bit of chemistry, graphite actually is nothing but a carbon element. It's a very pure element. But when you look at the lead, it's dark, opaque, weak, very weak, and scientifically is one of the most fragile elements, the most fragile material on this earth. Think about it. Before we are transformed, we are just like this, or just like lead in a pencil. Very weak. We are easy, very easy for us to get hurt. Very easy. Okay? Sometimes our brother never say a word, but we already hurt. We are so weak before the Lord. And, just a little temperature. Sometimes when we get a high temperature, get a fever, just a little bit higher than a normal, we become nervous. A little bit pain, we get nervous. We are so weak. And we are not transparent at all, you see. People always look at us, but they never see Christ in us. Because we are so opaque, because we are wrapped with anything in Adam, so people they couldn't see us. So we are just like the lead. But thank the Lord that you believe that. If you put that piece of lead in the heart of the earth, there you will find great pressure, and also a high temperature, the heat of a high temperature. So after the high temperature and the high heat. Now, underneath the earth, nobody has seen that experience. Nobody knows what is going on there. Just like sometimes we really go through the experience just like that. Much pressure, much tears, much temperature, and we are hidden. Nobody knows what we are going on. But if we really follow the course of the river, and if we remember that we are nothing but a water garden, then you will discover that the Holy Spirit really is going to transform us.
And through that kind of pressure and also temperature, then you discover a diamond is going to be formed. And diamond and lead in a pencil is the same element. If you know a little bit about chemistry, you know they just belong to the same element. But think about it. Diamond is supposed to be one of the hardest materials on earth. You know? You cannot break it. You just cannot break it easily with diamond, no. And not only that, it's transparent. Always reflect the light. And I must tell you that sometimes we don't know the glory, you see. But somehow the diamond has a such a structure, he can catch all the light within that precious stone. So when you see it, you discover the fire in it. So sometimes people will tell if it's a good diamond, there's a fire in it. Now what is that fire? That's another word for the glory of the light in it. And God is light. We are nothing but like a graphite. You know, we are in ourselves just like that piece of lead in the pencil. But just through the transforming work, think about it, we can become transparent. And we can let the light passing through us. Then people really can see the glory of God in us. So we really thank the Lord for the working of the Holy Spirit in us. That, you know, in this garden, you not only discover the nature of God, not only find the life of Christ, a light out of death, and you also find the transforming work of Christ in us. That people really can see the beauty and the glory in us. So it's very, very wonderful. But, of course, you know, when we become the water garden, somehow this is connected with the eternal will of God. How do we know? Because only when we come to the very end of our whole book, that means come to the very end of Revelation, we begin to realize that why we become a water garden. Because you discover in that eternal building of God, that's ultimate building of God, New Jerusalem, and you discover there are only three materials there. Right? You will find gold there, and pearl there, and also precious stone there. So the reason we become water garden, not just for ourselves, not for the purpose that we can become spiritual individually, no. More than that, much more than that. Actually, this material is for building up of the new Jerusalem. And we never thought that. Every gate is nothing but a pearl. And sometimes often we preach gospel, we may lead people to Christ, but we fail to learn one lesson. Actually, we're supposed to become the gate. Because every gate is a pearl. When we are transformed by the Holy Spirit into the image of Christ, when the pearl is formed in us, then we become one of the gates in the New Jerusalem. So no matter which gate you enter in, always lead to the throne of Christ. Then for sure, people will be led to Christ directly. And so I think this is a very, very important. Not only that, and you see that the whole city is transparent. And of course, we find the glory of God there you find gold, and that gold is fine gold. Very interesting, you know. I just told you a very interesting story. You know, when Brother Nee visited London, because he was invited by a close brother, a special Taylor party. And then he came to this country and he spoke to a large audience in New York. And according to Brother Taylor, James Taylor, and according to his letter, he told us that, well, the message was considered wonderful, very, very wonderful. But, you know, he liked to use the word but, because he was very critical, you know. Then later he tell us because he made some error in some kind of teaching. But anyway, many brothers said they all thought it's wonderful. And one night he was speaking on the deliverance.
You know, even he himself thought it was wonderful. He thought that Brother Nee really developed his own, very unique in his thinking. And he admired that. But on the other hand, he thought, doctrinally speaking, there's some problem there. So later, you know, he told his brothers in England, he said, look, he said, Brother Nee told me that, you know, his view of Revelation is very different from theirs. Because for the brethren, they consider the whole book as symbolic. And for Brother Nee, Brother Nee really took it literally. So I remember very well, you know, how this James Taylor told his friend, he said, look, how, if everything is literal there, and how can you imagine God would allow a gold in New Jerusalem, and that gold is corruptible? So how can God allow a corruptible element of gold in the New Jerusalem? So everything must be symbolic. So my brothers and sisters, I think this is a very interesting comment. I don't agree with my brother, but you know, if we really study the Bible carefully, and you discover that even when we talk about the goal there, we cannot talk about according to the present days of the law of physics. We cannot think in that term anymore. But anyway, brothers and sisters, I do feel that yes, in the New Jerusalem, you do have gold and precious stones, also the pearl. But now that's why we are still on earth, whereas we are still in time, and the Lord is working in our life. And make us not just a garden enclosed, and also a water garden. Now if we really follow the course of river, and we believe that the Lord will do its wonderful work in us, then you know, all this material will be prepared for His own building. And I believe that that's how we're all here for. We are not just called to be a garden enclosed, but also the water garden that we may be building. Then we will discover when we come into the city, there is just only one street. No matter which gate you enter in, you always end up with the throne of God. So we thank the Lord that today, you know, while we're still on this earth, the Lord really is going to do such a work in us. So may we all encourage by His own word. But I must say that, brother and sister, this is very basic. I think probably it's very basic to our Christian life. We don't have to wait for many years before we can become a water god. Actually, the Lord already started His own work. So let me just share with you some personal testimony, then I will conclude the message tonight. I have only one daughter. And in my family, and you know, while she was 10 years old, now she's 18, but 8 years ago, and while she was very, very young, and she loved the Lord. Of course, she's still loving the Lord. And also study the Bible, and she really have a heart for the Lord. But as a child, or as a girl of 10 years old, actually she didn't know much about the leading of the Holy Spirit, the guiding of the Holy Spirit, or garden enclosed, or a water garden. She didn't know those terminology. But because she was, you know, she loved the Lord, and she studied the Bible, and I do discover that the Lord really began that work of watering even at her age. I share this with you because just to remind us once again, the Lord already began this work very early in our Christian life. And one day, it was because the birthday of their grandfather is approaching. So they were thinking of, you know, my children were thinking of giving some gift to my father. I knew that my daughter bought a golden pen, you know, for her grandpa. Then unfortunately my oldest son, Ezra, saw it. At that time, of course, he was also very young. And he liked that golden pen. So he tried to persuade my daughter, give that up and let him have the golden pan, and he will present as a gift to his grandpa. But I knew my daughter very well. You know, outwardly she's very soft, but she's quite firm. You know, when she knew that something's right, she will stick to the end. You know, she really stick to some principle she knew. So, but Ezra has a way with her. You know, try all the way, soft way or hard way. You know, try to bribe her or try to, you know, try to convince her. Anyway, just try to get that. But the answer is no. That's it. That's period. That's all. So we knew that that ought to happen. Then I knew that finally, definitely, he will give that plan to his grandpa. So when the day come, of course, everybody presents some gifts to my father. And to my surprise, that it was Ezra who presented that golden pan. And then Esther presented something else. So I thought, there must be something happened there, because that's very unusual with my daughter. I knew it. Something must have happened. So I asked my wife, and then my wife told me the story because she found it out. So she knew the whole story. And because my wife asked my daughter, and what was going on? Because you were supposed to give the golden pen to your grandfather. How come you changed your mind? How can you give it to your brother? You know, what did she answer? She said, at the very beginning, I refused to yield to him. I won't give it to him. Anyway, I won't give up this golden pen. She said, the more I insist on it, she said, somehow I feel that my stomach was speaking to me. She said that my stomach was speaking to such a point that I wept. I just couldn't help but give that pen to my brother. She said, that's what happened. So my brother and sister, she didn't know how to use the word, the leading of the Holy Spirit or guidance of the Holy Spirit. She didn't know that at all. She even didn't know how to walk the way of the cross, how to give up her own right. She never knew all these things. But just at 10 years of old, just at that age of 10, and she already heard stomach speaking to her. She couldn't use another description. She just said, my stomach keep on talking and talking to such a point that I wept. I had to yield. So then she gave up that right to his brother. So my brothers and sisters, now in this experience, you really can see many principles. You can see the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You can see the way of a cross there. I mean, in a very simple, it's a so simple illustration. Sometimes we make things so complicated, so theoretical, as if we can never reach it. But no, just in our practical life, everyday life, brothers and sisters, these are all the opportunities for us, not just being a garden locked, but also a water garden before Him. So we ought to pray before the Lord, that because we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, we ought to live our life for Him and for Him only. But then why God allows so much time before us? Not just for our own pleasure, or not just because to give us more time that we can we may have another bigger house or a bigger car. No, not for these things. For one purpose. That one day people will discover the fullness, the fragrance, and the beauty of the light of Christ in us. Now that's not according to us. That must be the working of the Holy Spirit. So then we discover the dynamic aspect of that life in us. Then thank the Lord that the Lord really can come, the will of God really can be fulfilled in our life. Then you know that word, it indeed become a real, real word. Garden clocked is my sister, my bride. My sister first, then my bride. Then we begin to learn some out of that life, and we begin to learn that love union with our Lord. So may the Lord just encourage us with these simple words, and especially I try to mention this because I like to share some my own testimony with the brother and sister that will make encourage one another. It's not something
vague or not something distant, remote, actually in the every corner of our daily life. So may we all learn this beautiful lesson before Him.